Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome into the midweek brief. It's the hour of power in the middle of the week as we wanted to get on air Sunday. There's just too many things going on for Sunny down in Arizona on Sunday. So we decided to catch it during the week. We didn't know what day it would be, but I'm back in the DALAS. As we are all set and ready to go for this week here, we will be on air this Sunday as the Couch Potato Sports Show does continue its Sunday morning tradition. Just too many things going on as I was dealing with things down in Arizona, so here we are right now. That having been said, of course, that's the name of the show on Sunday, but it is today. The Midweek Brief Hour of Power is upon us. And we got a great show going on as we're going to do this within the hour. I may stay on after the hour, but there are a lot of things to talk about. And there are three quarterbacks that have got big stories. There's a wide receiver that we definitely want to talk about. And then there is some other things within the NFL that we're going to talk about. But the things that are the big news and the things that we wanted to talk about are all set and ready to go. And it started out this past week, you and I got a message from my fine co-host, of course, that being Cuervo. And we were talking about, gosh, we got something to talk about. And we did. And we still do. And that's the reason why we will talk about it here today as the show does continue. Let's hit this button right here. And it's a local story for my locals that are out there listening in. And down in the DALAS, Dallas, the big story here in reality for the Dallas Cowboys is a move that they had to make. And a move that was made not because necessarily they wanted to. What are you talking about, Sonny? Well, I'm talking about the move to take the Dez Bryant situation and end it. That having been said, guys, my brother made notice of this. There's not a lot of play right now out there for Dez Bryant. There's not a lot of teams lining up to say, hey, we want a Dez Bryant on our football team. Why is that? Well, first of all, Dez is a miserable human being. Let's just get that out of the way. And I talked about it, and I meant it when I was talking about why the heck. Okay, Cuervo is going to be in with us here in a couple of seconds. But why in the heck would anybody really worry about Dez Bryant being on this football team? There is obviously not a connection right now between him and Dez, between him, that being Dez Bryant, and, of course, and there we go. I'm reading some notes that we just got from Cuervo as he's going to join us here in a couple minutes. But Dez Bryant not making the move here in Dallas, you know, the big story, and one of the things that I hated to see is more than the fact that Dez Bryant says this is personal. And I really have got a huge problem with this whole ordeal regarding Dez Bryant. First of all, he's, like I said, miserable human being. Don't like the guy, and I've said it many times. Yes, I have something against this guy. Don't like him. As a human being, this guy, when you hit your mother, okay, I can't have too much sympathy for you. And I'm not going to have sympathy for you. You're a scumbag. I mean, if you're going to be the lowest of low, okay, if you're going to be that guy, okay, that turns around, you know, and has the goal to hit the person that brings you into this world, you know, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you. Dallas Cowboys, in reality, when you look at a lot of things that are going on with Dez Bryant within this franchise, you know, Jerry Jones does everything that he possibly can for this kid. All right. And the simple fact of the matter is that the Dallas Cowboys made the mistake. They let Dez Bryant really control what was going on. And the Dallas Cowboys, you know, partially this is their fault. They should have kept this guy again 1 year, kind of like what Kirk Cousins did. Put this guy out there on the franchise tag yet again and then pay him if they were going to do it. But obviously the Dallas Cowboys are not as smart as they think they are. They got nothing out of Dez Bryant after he signs this contract. Gets absolutely nothing. So the question that I have, Jerry, the first thing I have for you, first of all, are you bitter? Is it personal for you, Jerry? And I think this should be. This should be because all Jerry Jones was bend over backward to try to help Dez Bryant, first of all, be a good human being. Guess what? Dez Bryant did not help his situation in Dallas by being a good guy. Jerry welcomed them with open arms. Jerry, a guy who is still PO'd that he didn't take Randy Moss a few years ago, decides to take a flyer on a problem child. That was Dez Bryant. Folks, all you got to do is go back and listen to this show about Dez Bryant, what I've found out about him, what I know about him. Never mind the fact, you know, the situation back in Oklahoma State. My accusations that are accurate, and I put it out there about Dez Bryant, and here along comes Jerry. Jerry doesn't want to miss out on the next Randy Moss. And say whatever you want about Dez Bryant, he is not even close to a Randy Moss. And they go out and sell the farm for this guy and bring him on home. So as Dez comes out, with the gall that he wants, you know, he says, this is personal. Yeah, okay, this is personal. Why is it personal, Dez? That's the part I want to know. I mean, all they do is get it all set up, give him all the money in the world. He does nothing to live up to that money. They ask him to take the pay cut, and then guess what? Well, you know, you're not going to do us the solid like we did for you. Never mind look out for you. Never mind do everything for you. Okay? But here's the situation. The Cowboys released Dez Bryant, but he was not offered a pay cut. And the Dallas Cowboys did the right thing by not doing it. They just cut him because they knew what that situation was going to be. So the powers to be within the Dallas Cowboys, who are doing some good things, and that's because Jerry Jones has kind of let off the reins a little bit. But here we are, Dez Bryant getting cut. They didn't ask him to take a pay cut. It is cutting. Why is that, do you think? Why is it? The Cowboys get bad talk this guy all day long, but guess what? That part's really irrelevant because the Dallas Cowboys don't have to down talk Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant is who he is. So we got teams that are not even interested in Dez Bryant, guys. Good, bad, or indifferent. And then Jason Garrett comes out and says Dez Bryant's release is a quote unquote challenging situation. I'm telling you right now, the happiest guy in the world that Dez Bryant is not on this football team is Jason Garrett. And we go back to who Jason Garrett is. He's the yes man. He's the puppet. He is the biggest ass kiss that you'll ever find as a head coach in the NFL. Now, there's something to be said about it. If you go back and listen to our archives, listen, you know, Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett's relationship is great. Why is that? It's simple. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Jason Garrett has stock in ChapStick, and he walks in with all the flavors on Monday morning or the day after the game and says, Jerry, what flavor would you like to have on my lips when I kiss your ass? But Jason Garrett is the smartest guy out there. Why not? I would do it too. The millions that are being offered to Jason Garrett, hell yeah. I'm not going to question the guy that strokes the signature on the check. But deep down, in reality, Jason Garrett is very happy not to have to worry about Dez Bryant. And that's a good thing. You talk about it, not only that, Dez Bryant, regardless what he does, okay, is a distraction to your football team. That's the reason why he's not getting looked at. That's the reason why this guy's not getting offered any contracts right and left. But even Jason Garrett, he comes out and compliments him all day long, but comes back and says the right thing. Jason Garrett says he always loved Dez Bryant, but the release was best for the Cowboys. And that's absolutely so. And the fact of the matter is, it's not best for Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant should be on his knees every single day. He should have stock in knee pads to kiss the feet of Jerry Jones for Jerry Jones getting as much money as he has for, folks, I'll just say it, a mediocre wide receiver making way too much money. And the simple fact of the matter is, there was no need to talk to Dez Bryant about taking a pay cut because the guy wasn't going to take it in the first place. Now, that's all well and good. But Dez Bryant, you got a lot of explaining to do. I want to go to a contender. It's personal. Dez, why is it personal? You know, I just don't get it. It's personal. How could you have anything bad to say about Jerry Jones, regardless of the fact they let him go? That's business. You want to go personal? Jerry Jones should be pissed off, not you. Simple fact of the matter is, you get what you get from a punk wide receiver that came out of Oklahoma State that I warned everybody about on this show before he took one step out on the football field. And I warned the Dallas Cowboys not to touch this guy. Now they're out the millions of dollars. They should have franchise tagged him again. Oh, but what would message would that send to Dez Bryant? You're a punk, and you don't deserve to have the big-time contract as the way you've been acting like the biggest jerk in the world down in Dallas after I gave you the chance. That's what it should say. If anybody should say it's personal, it's Jerry Jones. If anybody should say it's personal, it's the organization of the Dallas Cowboys. That having been said, this is a move that makes the Dallas Cowboys a better look in reality to fans like me. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboy realist. You take the problem child off the football field, guess what? You put yourself in a position to be better, with better personnel. All that being said, the Dallas Cowboys, what are they going to do? Now, they go get hurt. Believe me, He's no Dez, and I'll even give Dez the credit. Hurt is not Dez Bryant. But could you do better? Absolutely. And the Dallas Cowboys know how to make a splash. And guess what Thursday is of next week? The draft. You want to talk about a team that has the capabilities of making a huge splash? That'd be the Dallas Cowboys. But Dallas Cowboys got a lot of things to worry about. And I've been listening to all the experts. Believe me, I've had time. The last 3 days, I've listened to every newscast up on as far as the Dallas Cowboys don't go offensive line with their first pick, regardless where they jump up, whatever they do. They need to get that best offensive lineman right away. They need to know who it is, and they need to go after him. The problem is the Dallas Cowboys are so decimated on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to go that route, and they're going to make the mistake. If anything, the Dallas Cowboys can make that move, make the splash in free agency, grab up a proven guy, which is what they need, because you say whatever you want about the Dallas Cowboys, Sean Lee not being healthy is an issue. And they got to make up for that. And they got to be ready for it, because it's not if Sean Lee is going to get injured, it's when. And the Dallas Cowboys, forget protecting your quarterback. You got to open up the door. You need to open up the holes for Ezekiel Elliott to run through them. This is such a no-brain pick for the Dallas Cowboys in the first round. I know they're going to screw it up because they are not going to go offensive line. Period. That is this team. That is their history. That is them not doing the right thing by the team. Yes, they got gaping holes defensively. But when you look defensively, you don't want to go in the draft to improve that if you're looking to improve right away. You go out and improve that because it is a necessity with guys that are proven. As it also been said, the Dallas Cowboys, they've got a lot of work to do within their own division because of who's in their division. This is no longer an 8-8 division anymore. Why is that? Well, look what Philadelphia did. Ran away 13-3, I think it was. 14-2, one of those two. They have changed the landscape of the NFC East to where a 9-7 is not going to be good enough. A 10-6. It's not going to be good enough to win this division. You're going to have to win 11 or 12, maybe 13 football games. And if you're the team not getting the 11 or 12 or 13, then you better start figuring out what you're going to do. And if you're not going to do it, and if you're the Dallas Cowboys, if you're not going to get the gaping hole figured out because of forget Dez Bryant, forget all of that. That guy's gone. Good riddance. Best thing that happened to him. And I'll get Cuervo's opinion on that in a moment. But going into this draft, the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys could be so dumb as to not protect Dez Bryant, but go ahead and protect the guy that needs to have the holes made for him. And then, of course, that being Ezekiel Elliott. Forget the fact you've got to protect your quarterback. You need to open up some holes for Ezekiel Elliott to get through. And that takes a good offensive line. Look what he did 2 years ago. Not last year, obviously, because of that. They did it because of that offensive line. Say whatever you want about him. That offensive line wasn't there. The Dallas Cowboys much better off without Dez Bryant in their lineup. And the simple fact of the matter is, why? Because you can find a guy to perform the way Dez Bryant has in the last 2 years all over the place.
You didn't know.
That having been said, of course, that's the name of the show on Sunday.
Somebody.
But it's the midweek brief hour of power in Cuervo. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Sonny. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm home. I'm all set and back into the friendly confines of the DALLAS. and lots of things, and we didn't get the opportunity. I kind of went off on my little tangent already about Dallas Cowboys and what Dez Bryant and what they got to do about their future. But we kind of were typing back and forth, Cuervo. What's your feeling on this Dallas Cowboys situation with Dez Bryant? Should Dez Bryant should be on his hands and knees away, I think, kissing Jerry Jones's feet? Or should he have a personal problem with the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of both, Sonny, and I know that sounds like a cop out answer, but allow me to explain, please. I think he should be thanking Jerry Jones, because it kind of feels like Cowboys have moved in a different direction as far as how they wanna be offensively. And I think they wanna be more of a running team just because of the younger guy that in the Ezekiel Elliott that they have. So I just think based on how the offensive line is built and based on, you know, the way that they're structured, it just feels like the Cowboys want to be more of a running football team, almost kind of similar to how they were in the 90s with Emmitt Smith. So that's four years ago. Yeah. I mean, it was a generation ago. So, you know, and that's why I think, you know, Dez should be shaking Jerry Jones' hand saying, thank you for setting me free in reality, because I honestly didn't see much of a future for Dez Bryant in Dallas. I think they've been to move on from him and remove him from their future plans. So now with that being said, name of the show.
On Sunday.
At the same time, now I think Dez, and it's been well documented on NFL Network and all the other, you know, things that when he's been interviewed, he's got some revenge on his mind. So, I mean, I think there is something personal there. I think that he kind of wanted to be in Dallas. So he didn't see himself going anywhere else. But that's the nature of the business, Sonny. I mean, you know, who would have thought Peyton Manning was not going to retire as an Indianapolis Colt?
So, yeah.
Or finish his career as an Indianapolis Colt. I mean, we never would have thought that was going to happen. We never thought Joe Montana would ever leave San Francisco. We never thought that, a lot of the greats that were with one team most of their career were ever going to leave. So, I mean, Emmitt Smith as an Arizona Cardinal was just a sight for sore eyes. So,
oh yeah,
that's just the nature of the business now, and it's so common that we don't even think twice about the fact that, you know, guys that have been in certain places for so long. Do you realize, Sonny, Dez Bryant has been in Dallas for 9 years or 8 years?
Absolutely,
it was eight or nine years
he
was in Dallas. And when you think back about it, you're kind of like, wow, it was that long. It's been that long. Yeah, Dez Bryant was a Dallas Cowboy for that long. So it's pretty remarkable to think about. But so, you know, I think he should be thankful that he was set free. But at the same time, now he's on a mission to seek revenge on the Dallas Cowboys.
You look at the and this is a guy. Okay, what is the standard bear for greatness, at least to start? There's several levels of greatness as a wide receiver, but one of them is you got to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Okay, that's number one. That, and folks down here in Dallas, last 3 years you haven't gotten that from Dez Bryant. Last year, 838 yards. Year before that, 796. The year before that, 401. Okay, this guy hasn't been lived up to that money-making opportunity that he did when he signed that contract. Should have kept this guy as the franchise player, then released him. But instead, they give him the big payday, and this guy hasn't lived up to his expectations. Last year, 6 touchdowns. The year before that, 8. The year before that, 3. Now, granted, he only played in 9 games in 2015 because of injury. But still, that's still nowhere near what you are expecting in reality from the type of guy that you paid that amount of money to. you want that 16 touchdowns. You want that 1,320 yards that he got back in 2014. And, folks, the Dallas Cowboys just haven't gotten it. And the fact of the matter is, never mind the fact that this guy is a miserable human being as far as being personal, but out on the football field, the Dallas Cowboys couldn't see putting $12 million into a guy that is not going to be the guy good enough in order to get them where they need to be. And not only that, Cuervo, the landscape of the NFC East has changed with the Philadelphia Eagles winning 13 games last year. And since the landscape of the NFC East has changed, that means the Dallas Cowboys have got to change their way of thinking. Now, the big talk down here, Cuervo, in reality, they want to go defense. Dallas Cowboys making huge mistakes if they go that way, Cuervo. This is a football team that has changed the way that their approach to offense is all about. That is if you're going to protect your quarterback and make holes in the line. The Dallas Cowboys really have to go offensive line, but they're going to fall to the pressure. They're going to fall to the fact that they got a lot of holes on the defensive side of the ball, and they are not going to fill it with experience. They're going to go through the draft, and right now, the Dallas Cowboys got to win right now, especially with the way the things have changed within their own division.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, a lot of things have changed in the division. I think – and it almost happens every year that the Dallas Cowboys make a huge move. They're going to do something that I think a lot of people don't expect. But at the same time, when you think about it, it's not really a big surprise.
Right.
Honestly, I believe, Sonny, as much as you're begging for them to draft an offensive lineman, I don't think that's what they're going to do.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I can see – actually, I do see them finding Dez Bryant's replacement. And I think that's where they're going to go in the first round.
Oh, whether wow. Interesting.
Absolutely. No, I mean, to me, I think it's pretty simple. You know, you get younger at the position – and I know I just mentioned that, Dallas wants to be a running team, but if I know that and you know that, then everybody else knows that. So when teams start to lock in and put eight in the box, got to have somebody that can go out there, catch some passes and make some plays. No disrespect to Jason Witten. I love the guy, you know, former Tennessee Vol. He's very long in the tooth, though, Sonny. I don't know how much longer. He's going to be a reliable guy. And they may ask Witten to be more of a blocking tight end, you know, starting this year. I don't have numbers in front of me, but I'm willing to bet that through the past 2 to 3 years, Witten's production has probably declined. So, you know, with that said, I kind of feel like maybe – they're going to ask Witten to take on a different role and be more of a blocking tight end than a guy that goes out and catches 70 to 80 passes and you know, nine touchdowns, you know, to be their number one receiver. I don't see that happening anymore. So I think they're going to go out and they're going to try to find Dez Bryant's replacement. Everybody that needs a receiver is all eyes are on Calvin Ridley out of Alabama, obviously. But I think they're looking more into Christian Kirk from Texas A&M. He's a local guy, and I think he fits what Dallas wants to do, and that's be a little faster. Considering the fact that they have a mobile quarterback in Dak Prescott. And I can very well see that happening. So,
Cortland Sutton is the guy that Cortland Sutton is the guy they're talking about down here. By the way, just to let you know, he's at SMU right down the street in Fort Worth, where they're in between Dallas and Fort Worth when in Arlington. You're talking about 6'4", 218 in reality. And not only that, when you look at that. These guys coming out of college, the guy you're talking about, Christian Kirk, only 201 pounds. that difference of 20, you know, close to 17 pounds is going to be big as far as their progression, because the first thing they got to do is get some weight on Christian Kirk, period, because you're not going to go up against these defensive linemen or these defensive players, you know, who are going to jam you right at the line. You got to be able to get out of it. So they're going to have to put some weight on him. So Courtland Sutton is another guy that is getting a lot of talk about right down here. 76 receptions, 1,246 yards, averaging about 16 yards a catch, and with 10 touchdowns over at SMU. Size and strength and quickness, so you get all of them there. I think that, and frankly, if they did that, and they went outside of what, you know, all the ESPN guys are saying, because ESPN guys and mock guys are saying Dallas Cowboys are going defense. If they went offense, I think that's the right route that they would take as far as that's concerned. Now, that also being said, Cuervo, of course, that's the name of this show. You're talking about Dez Bryant. He's not. You said you knew where Dez Bryant is going to go. Have you changed your mind on that? Do you still know where he's going to go? With some of the news organizations talking about, you know, there's not a lot of interest in Dez Bryant out there. I know where I think he's going to go. What do you think?
Well, Sonny, you know, he's mentioned the fact that he wants to prove something to the Dallas Cowboys that they made a mistake. The best way to do that is to obviously stay in the division. Well, take a look real quick. You got the Giants. They're reluctant to pay a guy in Odell Beckham Jr. who's 10 times better than Dez Bryant. You think they're going to pay Dez Bryant to go be a Giant? Him and Brandon Marshall? The egos of three receivers on one football team? Forget it. There's going to be weekly news of guys, you know, frustrated with each other about not getting enough passes, enough targets. So that definitely won't work. All right. You can throw the Giants out. That ain't happening.
Nope.
Philadelphia Eagles. Well, they just let go of Torrey Smith. So you're like, okay, there's opportunity for an opening there. The reason I don't think that they will do that either is just because of his attitude. I don't think they're willing to put up with his attitude, and I don't even know that they have the money to bring in Dez Bryant. So I would rule the Eagles out as well, which only leaves one team, Sonny. It's the team that has been known to dish money out to guys that try to resurrect their careers, okay? Donovan McNabb.
What do you mean, like Santana Moss?
Santana Moss, Sean Jackson, Albert Haynesworth. What do all these guys have in common? They all
money hungry.
Well, they're money hungry too. But the one place that was willing to dish the money out, try and resurrect their careers and prove that, you know, they still had it, it was right there in the nation's capital. I believe Dez Bryant will eventually sign with the Washington Redskins. Just because they have a history of signing guys, like I said, and dishing out the big money, do it. They let Kirk Cousins go, so they've got a boatload of money to spend. So that's what I believe. And, you know, that provides the opportunity for Dez to get revenge on those Dallas Cowboys twice in a season.
Well, let me ask you a question. You forgot one team. Within the own division, Cuervo. You forgot one team. You're going, Sonny, no, what are you talking about? We talked about New York. We talked about Washington. We talked about Philadelphia. There's one more team that could sign in, Cuervo. I'm telling you right now, there's a possibility this guy could be back in Dallas. He's, oh, contraire, mon frere, they just released him. Yeah, they released him because now they don't have to pay that money. So I think there's a chance he could be right back here in Dallas.
Well, we said that about Tony Romo, too, and then he just never played again. So,
well, the difference between Tony Romo and Dez Bryant is that Tony Romo was close to retirement. Dez Bryant, I don't think, is there yet.
That's a fair point. See, the way I look at it, Sonny, is I look at patterns of how teams conduct business, right?
Yeah.
How often have the Dallas Cowboys released the guy and then brought him back for cheaper? I don't think it's ever happened. At least to my
I don't think it ever has either.
I don't think they've ever done it, so to do it now for a guy that, you know, I mean, you mentioned the numbers, okay? You mentioned the numbers
mm-hmm.
that he put up back in 2014. You know why he
yes.
was able to put those numbers up, Sonny? It's not because of who
yes.
the quarterback was. It's not because of, you know, the fact that he was just more talented back then. No. Reason he was able to put those numbers up back then is because he played 16 games. How many games has he played in the past two seasons? I think he's played 16 in total. Another reason why Dez Bryant is not a Dallas Cowboy anymore. He's just too injury prone now. He's not reliable anymore on the field. The guy can't stay healthy. And you've talked about it, Sonny. I mean, he just, you know, every time you feel like, okay, Dez Bryant's starting to, you know, come back to his old form, he gets hurt again. I think Dallas
yep.
got frustrated and was like, it's not worth paying a guy that can't stay on the field the amount of money that he was getting paid. So Dallas found an opportunity to cut him, and they did. So
I think it was genius. I'm going to tell you the reason why I think it's genius, Cuervo. It's real simple. If there's not a lot of interest being developed right now for Dez Bryant, guys. There's no one really standing in line or at least putting themselves out there saying, yeah, we'll take them. And that's exactly what the Dallas Cowboys, I think, wanted. If they were going to get Dez Bryant back, it was going to be for a lot less money. Let him go ahead and test that free agency, but they can still offer him out of contract and get him signed there. And guess what? They can put him right back up on the franchise tag yet again. The rules about the franchise tag is while they're up underneath that one contract. They get a new contract signed with this guy. Not for as much money. They can franchise tag him if he decides to step up. And the reason why is that those years he's on the franchise tag is exactly the reason why we're talking about it, injury prone and not being the guy that could bring it to him. If they sign him for a lot less and he does play well, they can franchise tag him and keep him that way there. That is there. That's the possibility. Now, I don't know. Your point about Jason Witten is right there and huge. Okay, because the receptions have gone down since 2012 when he had 110. The best season he had on receptions was in 2015 with 77. He dropped to 73 in 2013, 2014, and then 69 and 63 the last 2 years. The production has gone down. The touchdowns have gone way down, 5, 3, 3, and 5 over the last 4 years. Jason Witten is not going to be the guy that they can depend upon to get the job done on a consistent level. So really, in reality, who else is out there right now in the wide receivers as far as free agents are concerned that the Dallas Cowboys can really turn to? There's not really much out there in reality, Cuervo. The only guy that they can maybe think about doing is giving a new contract to their Dez Bryant, and they re-sign him and use this guy for exactly what this guy is, okay? Whether or not he's going to be good enough, let's let him prove it up underneath the franchise tag. And they got 3 years they can do that with Dez Bryant. It's really an interesting situation that could end up happening. Will it happen? I don't know. Like you said, Cuervo, you know, the Dallas Cowboys haven't done it before, but here we are with the possibility it could happen. That having been said, of course, that's the name of the show on Sunday. We're in the midweek brief in the Hour of Power. I know you got to jump off here really quick. Rick Cuervo, but lots of talk going on in New England. I mean, I've got a question for you, Cuervo. I guess the media has nothing better to do right now. They got to create a story. It's almost worse than the Donald Trump situation with media developing stories against the punk Donald Trump is. But man, oh man, can you believe the talk right now that's going on regarding the Patriots and what's going on? Maybe it's me. Maybe this is the dumbest story yet that's going on in the offseason, Cuervo, with what's going on with Tom Brady, that also being Gronk, and then the head coach of this football team, as far as Bill Belichick and the Patriots are concerned. Is this the dumbest story that's out there? Or do you think there's really legs behind it because Adam Schefter says there are?
Well, Sonny, I mean, the way you feel about Chris Mortensen is the way most people feel about Adam Schefter. If he's saying it, then there's got to be something to it. Now, am I saying that the thing we're hearing is 100% completely accurate? No, absolutely not. But this is very uncharacteristic of the New England Patriots. This is very unusual of the New England Patriots. This all goes back to that Monday night in Miami when Bill Belichick left Tom Brady out to figure it out on his own at the end of the game, and he couldn't do it. And I think that's what started this whole thing, where it's the beginning of the end of the New England Patriots era. Now, I think it's a dumb story, absolutely, completely reaching and completely just desperate to find something to say, yep, it's over. The Belichick and Brady regime is done. You know when it's going to be over, Sonny? When they say it's over. Not when the media says it's over. Not when ESPN, not when Adam Schefter or anybody else. The only two that will determine when it's over, actually, there's three people. The only three that can make that determination is Brady, Belichick, and Robert Kraft. Until you hear it from those three, everything else is just media hoopla and people just trying to make a story, trying to make a reason to say, yep, I broke it, that the Patriots era is done. It's not done. It won't be done until.
I agree. It's a stupid story, Cuervo. And this goes back to the media just making stuff up. The simple fact of the matter is we'll go back to the guy that's taken the team to the Super Bowl 8 times. Okay, you're never going to question this guy, and it shouldn't start now. And just because this goes back to the Butler situation, Cuervo, and everybody's questioning, guys, there's more to that story. There's nothing that's being talked about. But I'm telling you right now, there's more to the story, and we're going to hear about it in a couple of years. And guess what? It's going to be something that Malcolm Butler did. Now, the story I'm hearing, which is what I think it is right now, until I hear differently, Malcolm Butler, I think, missed the airplane. And then, if you're Bill Belichick, you're definitely questioning his motivation and his dedication. How do you miss a plane to get to the Super Bowl? Now, if that story is true, I haven't had a chance to go back and check it out, Cuervo, but I'm telling you right now, that is a big story right now that I think is either the actual reason why he said, screw you, if you can't make it to the airplane, how can I trust you to give 100% in the game? And he stood on it. And he said, screw it. I don't care what people think. I've taken my teams 8 times. Who are you to question me? And, hey, good, bad, or indifferent, whether or not that's the right thing that this guy should do or not is irrelevant. He's got the right to be able to do that because of his history, because of his pedigree that he has done. There's absolutely no problem between Brady and Belichick. Zero. And you want to make a story out of it? This is real simple. Hey, they are talking in the media. At least they're talking about you, good, bad, or indifferent, Cuervo. That's what's going on here. Now, if there is a problem in the Patriots, it might be with Gronk. But here's the simple fact of the matter is, Gronk doesn't want to catch the football from anybody but Tom Brady. There's only a few people that they could actually really see Gronk going to? One of them is going to be Green Bay. That would be my guess where he would go if he didn't stay there. Any other team in this one that you who else is he going to go to that's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback? The only one out there right now that realistically that he could go to is Green Bay, Cuervo. And but here's the thing. Green Bay isn't going to give him the money he's going to want, so he's going to stay right there.
Don't say that. Well, by the way, just to let you know, I've got about a solid 20 minutes left, and then I got to take off. But just to keep you updated on my time limit here, so 20 solid minutes, and then I got to jump off. But Green Bay,
First of all,
I would have nightmares the night before the Bears play the Packers. Second of all, do you really think him and Jimmy Graham could both coexist together on the same team? I mean,
that's why Jimmy Graham would be gone.
But they just signed him, Sonny. So you're saying,
of course.
So you're
and
saying,
of course, they'll
if they had the opportunity, they just signed him like a month ago. So what you're saying is, if they had the opportunity to grab up Gronk, they would just deal Jimmy Graham away, or find a way to get rid of him without him ever playing for the Green Bay Packers.
Absolutely. Jimmy Graham is useless in the reality. That would be one thing that they wouldn't have to deal with, is dealing with that bad signing. It was a horrible signing, Cuervo. It really was. What has Jimmy Graham done? And in the NFL, it's what have you done for me lately? And he hasn't done anything lately.
Okay. I'll buy that. I just think it'd be and that's a lot of penalty money if they did something like that. That's the only reason I would say that probably is not a scenario that I could see happening. It's tough. I mean, I could see from
I
Arizona.
I can't see anybody in reality.
It's really hard to say, Sonny. I mean, I don't know that. He wants to play anywhere but New England as well. I mean, I'm with you. I think that's the bigger story in New England, not, you know, Belichick Brady frustration or why Malcolm Butler was let go. I mean, that stuff really doesn't matter in reality. I think the bigger story is what is Gronk going to do? That's what you guys need to worry about over there in New England, because Malcolm Butler's gone. Like, you can't change that. He's gone. He's already signed with another team. It's in the past. Why he didn't play in the Super Bowl doesn't matter anymore. It's in the past.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Brady and Belichick are a story you don't even know how to describe it. Are they mad at each other? Are they, you know, have they gotten into an argument? Did they get into a fight after the Super Bowl? Like, what is the story about? Not just, quarterback and coach, not seeing eye to eye. Okay, how, when, where? Like, you're not giving any information. You're not giving any details. So why would anybody buy into what you're saying? Okay?
The bigger story
is the fact that Rob Gronkowski is contemplating retirement. That's what y'all need to worry about, because if that happened, you probably should look into replacing or finding someone to fill that tight end spot in, because, well, I mean, I hate to be rude or disrespectful. Aaron Hernandez isn't an option anymore, okay? He's not going to play. So that's not happening. But, you know, so who fills in that tight end spot? You're going to ask Martellus Bennett to come out of retirement? I seriously doubt that's going to happen. So what do you do? What do you do at the tight end? Do you look in the second, third, fourth round of the draft? I'm sure you'll find something. I mean, hell, Gronk was a second, third round pick for them. So, but, I mean, how do you fill that void? You know, that's to me, that would be a bigger concern. Didn't they didn't they just trade for a receiver? I know they traded Brandon Cooks away, but didn't they get someone too? Sonny, over.
I don't remember. And here's the thing: if it was anybody worth a nickel, we'd know who it was. So it wasn't anybody spectacular.
No, not at all. Yeah, I don't think they did. I think they got. I thought they have another first round pick. That's how they got it, was through the Brandon Cooks trade. So,
yeah.
That's two first-round picks. But, yeah, I don't think they've signed a receiver. And they let Danny Amendola go. And he's been making some comments, too. So, that, to me, is a bigger story than this so-called fight that Brady and Belichick. I want to hear what Danny Amendola has to say. What does he think about New England or his time in New England? I know he has an opinion on it. So,
The Danny Amendola thing is I'm missing it. But I think that's the thing that is stirring the pot on the fact that no one's getting along, Cuervo. And frankly, listen, I like Danny Amendola, okay? But guess what? The simple fact of the matter is, and I'm going to say it, he's probably the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL. Why is that? Well, because Tom Brady has nobody to throw the football to if Gronk's not out on the football field, period. Okay, that's what Tom Brady does. He makes these guys, Danny Amendola, relevant. The simple fact of the matter is there's not too many other teams that would have Danny Amendola if he did not play and show what he can do with the Patriots. So the simple fact that Danny Amendola is gone, I don't think that it hurts his feelings whatsoever. The simple fact of the matter is Danny Amendola should be on his knees kissing the feet of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, because he would be Mr. Irrelevant. If he was on any other football team, Cuervo, we wouldn't be talking about how good he really is. Same thing with Wes Welker back in the day, Cuervo. These guys would be nobody, because guess what? They proved it once they went away, okay? What did really Wes Welker do? He didn't get the same number. He was still pretty good in Denver, Cuervo, but still not still not the guy that he was in New England. And that's what's going to happen to Danny Amendola over there for the Raiders.
Yeah, well, he signed with Miami, but
Miami. Man, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry.
Want to talk about someone that hit the jackpot? Wes Welker, Sonny. Wes Welker went from Tom Brady to Peyton Manning in his career. And you know what's astonishing? What if I told you that he played with those two guys for the last, 6-7 years of his career? 0-0 rings.
Good point.
That right there tells you how, I mean, I don't know if you want to say that that Welker was overrated, but I don't know. It's quite the coincidence that the last, however many years he played with Brady, then went over to Peyton, couldn't win one single ring.
Should have.
Crazy.
Should have.
Oh, he should have had two or three of them easily, but never happened.
Yep, those are the ones that they didn't get. I mean, you look at what that's all about as far as Welker. Welker was with New England since 2007 up to 2012, okay? Are you sure he doesn't have a ring?
I am 100% positive.
Wow, so there you go. I mean, Cuervo, are you sure? I mean, did New England win the Super Bowl from 2007 to 2012? Didn't they get a Super Bowl in there?
Well, 2007 was the 16-0 season where they lost to the Giants. That was his first year in New England. After that, they didn't get back until 2011 when they lost to the Giants again. By the time they got to the Super Bowl again, in 2014, he was already in Denver.
Ah, got it. There you go.
So
I didn't know that. Wow, craziness. But
and the year before New England played Seattle, Denver had lost to Seattle. So he had three opportunities and lost all three.
Got it. Yeah, craziness that's going on in the NFL, Cuervo. You only got a few minutes. I'm going to give you the floor on something that you want to talk about. I've got an important run list that we've got, and we're going to have a great show on Saturday. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. So, Cuervo, what do you want to talk about before you get offline?
Well, I got about 10 more minutes, so I've got a little bit of time. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I know there's more stuff that...
How about this one? How about if I throw it out to you? Rodgers, hopeful for a contract extension in Green Bay. What is Green Bay waiting on? I mean, does he have too much power up there? He's pissed off about Jordy Nelson being gone off his football team. He's the one that went to Oakland, by the way. I mean, does he have too much power and they're making him wait? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it just kind of sounds like it's almost like most situations. I don't want to say it's what have you done for me lately, because, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has done more than enough, way more
right.
than enough for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, if to say that he's exceeded the expectation is an understatement. I mean, this guy is light years more than what anybody would have expected from him up there in Green Bay. I mean, yeah, he was a first-round pick, but I don't think anybody was expecting, 40 touchdowns and 9 interceptions a year from Aaron Rodgers. The problem, though, he's got Tony Romo syndrome. I mean, he's breaking his collarbone almost every year. And I think the Packers, and I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, it's true. He suffered a collarbone injury like 2 out of the past 3 years now. You know, if I'm a GM or I'm an owner of a team, look, nobody's questioning how great Aaron Rodgers is. But Aaron Rodgers means nothing if he's not playing. So to hesitate to give that guy big-time money like that, I completely understand it, because Aaron Rodgers could this season throw 50, throw 60 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But if he goes down in week 17 and you don't have him for the playoffs, what are you really getting? He got you to the postseason. Now it's time to finish the job, and he's not available. I mean, you can only, as a GM, as an owner, you can only go through that so many more times before you say, you know what, it's not going to work. Like, he just keeps getting hurt. Trust me, nobody's questioning his talent, his ability, his production, nothing like that. But a big factor in it is durability, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of problems with.
And not only that, Cuervo, this is the guy that is going to break the $100 million mark. And like you said, do the Packers do business first, which is we can't put that much money in this guy as much as we love him. But business-wise, that'd be dumb. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, Cuervo, I think I'm right there. I mean, this guy is 35 years old. He's going to be 36, okay? So we're talking about a guy that's going to, you're going to pay a 35-year-old to go out, it's actually 34 this year. You got $20 million invested in him. They don't have to, Cuervo, they don't have to do anything until 2019. He is under freaking contract, baby, and that's the way it is, at $19 million and $20 million. And I'm going to tell you right now, business-wise, if I was the Green Bay Packers, I'd think exactly what you thought. I'm not putting any more money in this guy. I got $39 million for the next 2 years. Like it or not, Aaron Rodgers may be on a different team in 2020, but until then, he stays right here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you should –
this is going to be an $80 million guaranteed contract that he's going to sign. And if you're the Green Bay Packers, do you want to do that with fragile Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, that's their own damn fault too, though, Cuervo. If they protected the man, he wouldn't be like this.
That's another great point, you know, and that's what I was going to get into next is, look, instead of investing everything into one guy, go out there and get some pieces around him, and maybe he won't be so, you know, so argumentative with the front office. I think that's really what he's frustrated about. You know, he's using the contract thing as a leverage, which to me, I think that's a risky move on his part. But I think his real frustration is the fact that, like you said, you know, his buddy is gone now.
Yep.
They still don't have a running game. Ty Montgomery, no, don't bring that crap to me. Ty Montgomery is not an option at running back, okay? But the biggest thing, I mean, the offensive line is just, it's like very soft. They're easy to get through. And he needs better protection than that because, like you said, if he had better protection, maybe he wouldn't be getting hurt so much. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's really the way Green Bay's got to look at it. And they also have to show to Rodgers and say, look, I understand, you know, we know you want to get paid. But what's more important, getting paid or trying to get another ring? Now, he might say, well, me getting paid is more important. At that point, I cut ties with him because he's not about the team. He's not about the team, and I don't want my quarterback to be selfish. I mean, I don't care how good you are. If you're selfish, if you show selfish character, I don't care who you are. You're not going to quarterback my team. So, you know, and it's easy for me sitting in my pickup truck to say that. But that's the way it's got to look at, Sonny, is like your quarterback should be the least selfish person. You know, a guy like Russell Wilson's a great example of that. I mean, and Tom
Absolutely.
Brady is another great example of that, where how many pay cuts has Tom Brady taken? I mean, he's
many.
I don't want to say thrown away, but he has left, if I had to guess, probably about $20 million on the table that he's left.
If not more.
Just to do things like sign a Randy Moss, bring other guys back, you know, when they were about to test free agency and they were able to, you know, extend their contracts or whatever the case may be. You know, that's the kind of quarterback you want, is a guy that's, I'll get my money, you know, whenever. I'm not worried about that. I want rings. That's what I want. I want jewelry, baby. That's what it's all about. And that's why Tom Brady, he's not going to go down as, you know, the greatest of all time because he got paid the most. He's going to go down as the greatest of all time because he's got 5 rings. No other quarterback can say that. So,
yep. Good point.
You know, that's just the way, you know, he is. But not enough quarterbacks are following suit. And, you know, I mean, that's why Aaron Rodgers only has 1 ring. Drew Brees only has 1 ring. Russell Wilson, so far, only 1 ring. And Tom's just chilling, you know, maybe not as fat of a bank account, but he's got a lot of jewelry.
And plus, he gets it other places more so than any other quarterback.
Oh, endorsements. So out the wazoo.
Yeah. Out the wazoo. So. All right, Cuervo, I think you got a bail, right?
I do. I do have to bail. I appreciate it, though, Sonny. This was fun for the 45 minutes that I was on. When are we going to be back up? Is it? I know you said Saturday. Did you mean Sunday?
Yeah, I meant Sunday. Noon on Sunday, a regular time in the off season, unless something or you comes up or me. But right now I'm open for noon on Sunday.
Okay, I am as well, so. As of right now, I'll talk to you then. Yep. Enjoy your day, Sonny.
Yep. I'm going to stay on for a little bit, so I'm going to kick into, and I'm going to take a caller who is online, who's been on for about 3 minutes. Let's go on over to the 973 area code. This is Sonny Clark. You're on the Couch with Taya Sports Show. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hey,
How do you do, sir? I'm your friendly neighborhood podcaster, Luke Snore, from somewhere in the middle of New Jersey.
Got it. All right. Well, what do you got on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I've heard about the show, but I haven't had a chance to call. So, but now I got some time. So anyway, you were discussing about pay cuts, but what about you think with the situation with Dez Bryant since he went to get pay cut from the Cowboys? Do you think maybe the Giants might be interested in taking him?
No, too much drama there in the wide receiver. You already got one guy who thinks needs to get money. And how about two guys bickering over the ball, and then you got Eli Manning throwing you the football? Eli Manning is in the twilight of his career, man. I don't think at all. I just don't see it as far as that is concerned. Cuervo, the co-host of the program, he sees them in Washington because Washington's the one that likes to put out the money to guys who are not really worth it. And the fact of the matter is, Dez Bryant isn't worth it, but I think the fact of the matter is, I think Dez Bryant will be a Dallas Cowboy next year. Yeah, I know they released him, but they also will be in control with the money and also get the franchise tag back up under a new contract.
I didn't think of that. Because, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, well, I mean, release him, but then you'll think you may want him back. Okay, I would hope so, because, you know, I would hate to see him get traded. I mean, that's my team. And I hate to see him, you know, lose it over something like, you know, because he wouldn't take a pay cut.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't even say that was the reason why. They didn't even talk to him.
It was
about
one of the
pay
reasons.
Cut. They just let him go. So at least according to the reports I've been reading about it, they didn't even offer him a pay cut. They just released him before him because real simple. Dez Bryant made it very clear he wasn't going to take a pay cut. So they just went ahead and released him instead of negotiating it. They didn't need to because they know that young man's temperament. That temperament is the big problem for the Dallas Cowboys. So in order for them to get him back, they'll offer him out of contract. It won't be for the money. And the fact of the matter is there are not other teams out there lining up for Dez Bryant right now.
No, they're not. So anyway, now the sort of baseball – they're thinking of moving Giancarlo Stanton out of the third spot in the batting order down below. This was according to Aaron Boone. Yeah, I know he's been, you know, not performing as well as we had hoped, you know, as the Yankees so far, but where do you think he'll end up?
This is the one that confuses me out of a lot of them. As far as where he could end up, my baseball knowledge compared to football knowledge, and some people will say, Sonny, your football knowledge sucks too. But that having been said, is not really as far as up to date on it. But I think he just stays. I mean, as far as that's concerned, you're talking about a dynamic kind of guy that can get the job done. It's the question is, will the team spend the money on him? And that's always the question when you got a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the fans have not been very kind of him at all. Like, oh, you're horrible. You know, you're 3-for-27 right now. You're striking out. Like, okay, I get it. He's not doing what he thought. But I think maybe the media and all the fans were just expecting way too much out of this, especially right now.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right.
In this season, man.
You might be right.
Yeah. As a diehard Yankee fan, I've seen it all. I've seen the ups and downs.
The Yankees are going to be right there. I mean, they got three of the leading home run hitters in the last 3 years. Now they're all on the same team. They might break a record, an MLB record for home runs being hit by a team this year, thanks to that stat from my brother who filled me in on that. But he's absolutely right. You're talking about a team that has got firepower. So the simple fact of the matter is, you know, where's this guy going to go? I mean, it would be like a dumb move, in my opinion, for him to go someplace else. So you might as well stay where the success is going to be, because when you see a batting lineup like the Yankees right now, you don't want to be on any other team if you're in the American League right now. You just don't.
No, because you know, I don't give up the Yankees that, you know, even if they're having, you know, a slow start. It's happened before.
All the time. It's very common for the Yankees to get off to the slow start, not get out of the gate. But you know what? He's like a thoroughbred in a horse race. You get it up to where it gets close to the playoffs, and if they are in reach, they're going to make it. And with that lineup that they got going on over right now, I don't think for one second that we're not talking about the Yankees in the playoffs somewhere, whether it's in their own division or whatever the case may be,
yeah,
getting in the wild card or whatever. I've never seen such a shoe-in. I hate the Yankees. My God, they're worse than the Cowboys. I hate them too. And the reason why is because they're usually pretty good, but they did it the way that they do it, and they got the guys and they got the money in their pocket. So let's see if they produce, and I think they will.
Yeah. Well, I've been following the Yankees since I was like four.
Yep. A lot of people
that long
have
ago.
Yeah. You got to love them. But 26 championships. I mean, come on. I mean, if you're a fan of winning, yeah, 27. So if you're a fan of winning and you're a Yankee fan, you're right up there. You don't have to worry about it. You know, it's like being a Patriot fan. You know, I mean, 8 Super Bowls. I mean, by the way, let me ask you. What do you think about this deal with Tom Brady and the Patriots? Do you think there's really real mustard behind what they're reporting? To me, I think it's something that the media just needs something to talk about. I don't
anything
think it's
for
an
publicity
issue at all.
Anything for publicity with that guy. I mean, really. And the whole thing, he wasn't getting along with Belichick. Come on, this is a soap opera here. This isn't real.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I'm right there with you.
And I said, oh, they can't get along? Bull. That's bull.
I'm right there with you. I cannot see where these guys are. And let's say they aren't getting along. You know, the good marriages that last 20 or 30 years, guess what? There's always going to be a bump in the road somewhere. They're not always going to agree. I mean, so, you know, why should this be any different? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm a football player, I'm breaking my neck to get up there. I mean, I really am. And
some
I don't care what the drama is. I mean, I want to be a Patriot. Why? Because the Patriots' way is the way of winning. And guess what? You know, 8 Super Bowls means a lot in reality. So that's an organization that wants to win, and it's obvious. And what they do is it's really simple. Everybody just do your job. And if you do your job, we're going to be where we're supposed to be. And the fact that they're in that division, maybe the weakest in the AFC in reality – you know, they could be in the playoffs with a 9-7 record and win that division because everybody else is so bad.
Yeah. I'll be done by 4:15. Go on.
So that's just where I'm at it. So, you know, I thought I'd give you the floor since you called in. Anything else you want to cover?
Well, I don't know how much you know about hockey, but we had, I think, probably like the story of the year so far with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Isn't that a great story for hockey?
It is.
I mean, you want to talk about getting into limelight. This you're talking about a sport. I love hockey, by the way, but I love minor league hockey. I like minor league hockey. I do keep up with the NHL, but this is a great story for them in reality. Not only that, you know, you're talking expansion, in the first round. I mean, and not only that, you're talking about a team that loses the first round with only four goals. If I'm not mistaken, was it 4 goals only scored in that whole series? Maybe 5?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one to lose in reality, but Las Vegas up on top of it. What a great story for them. And if they keep doing it, imagine if they win the Stanley Cup. That'd be awesome for this
sport
in reality
to
get fans.
I have them picked to win the Stanley Cup, to be honest.
Let me ask you this. Did you pick them before the season in reality, or did you kind of see what was going on within the first quarter of the season go, look out, that team could make some noise?
Well, you know, when I was hearing about the lineup of who they have and with the veteran players, I'm like, okay, this is not an ordinary expansion team. This is not a new crop of college players playing in their first year. And actually, you expect that to happen. They would, you know, be like, 10-72 in 82-game season. Yeah, probably would. The Devils did the same thing back in 83. Duh.
Absolutely.
But when you have experienced players, and some even won Stanley Cups, Marc-Andre Fleury, for example. So when you factor all that, you got the talent pool. Hey, how could you go wrong with that?
And it's a great point about the Devils. I mean, because they did basically the same thing, but in the reality is that was
I was there.
But yeah, I will tell you straight out, when you talk about what is going on in the NHL right now, this is the only thing that is going to bring more fans to it. If they kept going with the status quo and just playing hockey and doing something, not have that big story, they wouldn't get the viewership that they are getting right now, which is great for this sport in reality, because I think we should talk about it more in reality, because I love me some hockey. We got a couple of people that listen to this show strategically throughout the country, a couple in Pittsburgh, a couple in Chicago, a couple in L.A. that really keep up with hockey that we'll get in and we'll talk about it every once in a while.
Well,
I've
been
following
it since I was 10.
So. Good stuff in that as far as that's concerned. So I love what we're doing. Thanks for giving us a call. Anything else you want to cover? Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're the Green Bay Packers, okay, and this is the part I didn't get to Cuervo with, I'm not even entertaining. Granted, I'll put it out there, I'm entertaining you, but in reality, I'm not entertaining an extension for Aaron Rodgers. Not because he's not good, not because he's not great, but the guy is injury prone. You got him under contract for 2 years, let him go after that point. I don't know, maybe that's a mistake, but man, business-wise, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm not going to throw $100 million at a guy that might not be out on the football field for the next 5 years. I'm just not going to do it. As much as I would love an Aaron Rodgers, business is business, I don't know if that's worth the risk as far as that franchise is concerned.
No, I don't think it's worth the risk either, especially now with him getting up there in football years.
34, he's got another two or three years.
Borderline, really.
That he
borderline.
Can be great, and he's under contract for those 2 years.
34 is borderline.
Yes. It's getting there. I don't know. I just don't see business-wise why the Green Bay Packers would entertain $100 million on a guy that they might only get 2 or 3 years out of. Because that guaranteed contract is going to be at least $80 million. Look at Kirk Cousins, what he got. Aaron Rodgers is going to get $80 at least, if not, guaranteed money. He's going to get more than $100 million in the contract, but it's really all about the guaranteed money in reality. He's going to get $80 million, if not $90 million. And I don't know if the Green Bay Packers, if you want to invest that much money into Aaron Rodgers when you have the opportunity for the next 2 years to only pay him $39 million, $40 million bucks for the next 2 years. I think I take my chances, and if he can get me a championship in 2018, then I would take a look at him and see if I would go ahead and sign him up for the long term.
But at 34 years old, how long term can it be?
I know. It's kind of shaky. Kind of shaky up on it. So, it is what it is. It is the NFL, and everything else goes, it goes to the side, whether or not, it's all about performance out on the football field, whether or not they'll get that money, and it's the same thing for Mary Rogers. Anything
Speaking
else you wanted to
football,
cover before you're out here? Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of football, there's new leagues coming with the next couple of years. You got the American Alliance Football and a rebirthing of the XFL, which I don't see succeeding whatsoever. I mean, you've made the mistake before. Why would you want to go out and make the same mistake again?
Well, I think that, to be honest, and I know what you're talking about, I think the WWE Network is going to be all over this. I mean, they have their own network, and they're saying all day long they're not going to do that. But, it's Vince McMahon. Okay, Vince McMahon will do whatever he seems necessary. He says he's going to keep his nose out of it. You know he can't do it. When you look at all that whole situation regarding the XFL coming back, I don't think it's a real product in reality when you're looking at NFL prospects. It's just not there, or they would have had one. There's only one, He Hate Me, or whatever his name was. The rest of them, they're all scrubs. The fact of the matter is, if that be the case, and this other one with four games, those are scrimmages. They don't mean anything. And the simple fact of the matter is, all you got to do is look at what happened when you had, you know, the quarterback, you know, Texas A&M, going out there and having a horrible performance, and he's trying to get back in. Of course, you know, we're talking about one guy that can't keep himself out of trouble. You know, no one's really looking seriously at those leaps. They're looking college. Because why? Because when your average lifespan of every position in reality is maxed out at 4 years, you don't care what these guys have been doing for 4 or 5 years. They're not going to fit your program. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's just not the right thing for the NFL to say, hey, I think we can grab up these guys and they're going to be good for us. I just don't see it. Now, I think I like it. I mean, if you want to do it for entertainment and everything, great. Wonderful. That, you know, Vince McMahon will make it entertaining.
It's supposed to be football, not a circus, though.
Absolutely. And that's the problem with Vince McMahon being in control of it. Everything he does is a circus. And that's what that's what's going to be that downfall. And that other league, it's a quote-unquote minor league. That's been done and over with. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. I'm just saying it's not feasible, and no one's going to support it. No one's going to go see it. So, you know, you got Johnny Manziel, who can't do anybody. They had 4,000 people in the stands. No one cares.
I can't believe it. I got to turn back to baseball for a second. I can't believe how Detroit just managed to choke in almost every game. They had a 5-3 lead, and they just blew it. Baltimore just tied the game up. My boss was right. This team was a dumpster fire. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. They are. They tied it up.
The Tigers are a joke.
Right now. I've been watching that. And you know what? I being from that area back in the 80s, I'm a closet Detroit Tigers fan, but they can't seem to get out of their own way. They win it all a few years back, but now to make the comparison, they win it all, and then they're not coming back to do anything about it. And you're right, dumpster trash, and getting guys that are outside their prime, you know, to try to help them, that hasn't worked for them. This is a team that really needs to look at their, you know, farm system and get it in control, because right now it's out of control.
I mean, really, because, I do a show sorry, from Detroit, and, like, you know, and every for the past few years, I mean, they have been a complete waste. And it's like, you know, even if you get a good draft pick, it doesn't help them at all.
No, it doesn't. You're absolutely right.
They got
that young Christian Stewart down there. He's playing the AAA. You might as well bring him up, right? I mean, you're only hurting yourself on what you think you can get from that guy. He's the top prospect right now. So you might as well bring him up and find out what the hell you're going to get out of him instead of not. Keeping them down in Toledo isn't going to help you at all.
Yeah.
So, it is what
just
it is.
Awful.
All right, man. It is just awful. I got to go ahead. I got to bail. We only got 7 minutes. A couple of things I got to cover on business. Thanks for giving us a call on the Couch Potato Sports Show. You're always welcome. Good stuff, by the way. And you want to get in online anytime. 347-215-7497 is the number. You're always welcome up on the show. We always try to get them up on air, and, you know, every time we hit click to go ahead and do the show, we got to worry about whether or not it's a kid in the basement doing something stupid. We got lucky there. But we are where we are. Folks, check us out on Sundays. Check us out on Sundays. We're going to be back in 3 hours up there. I, you know, went and did some business. Check out my old man down there. Lots of things that we're going to be talking about on Sunday. At the Tennessee Titans, they're going to exercise Mariota's fifth-year option. What does that mean? You know, we talk about contract extension. What does that mean? We're not hearing contract extension from Marcus Mariota. No, it's they're exercising their fifth-year option. What does that mean? It's really obvious in reality what that means. Talking about a football team that doesn't trust their guy. And if they were, they would go ahead and do so. So do whatever you want. Lions, they go ahead, defensive end Ziggy Ansah. Well, he signs the franchise tag, so he is all set and ready to go. He was the first-round draft pick in 2013, had 44 sacks in 5 years for Detroit, including this past season, 12 this past season. Hey, A.J. McCarron, hey, is he unfazed, you know, about the Buffalo Bills maybe going ahead and drafting a quarterback? I wouldn't. A.J. McCarron is going to be the quarterback. He's going to be the starter day one. I don't care who they get. And even if they move up, A.J. McCarron is going to get the opportunity in Buffalo. He's going to be the starter day one. Now, question B, because the Buffalo Bills are a team that can't seem to get out of their way. They're doing the right thing, which would have been hiring the defensive coordinator and now head coach of the New York Jets is what they should have done when this team was good defensively, but they can't get out of their way of making right decisions, and that is one of them. So say whatever you're. Jarvis Landry expected the return of Odell Beckham and hopes the Giants superstar will get the money he deserves. Well, I'm going to tell you that I've got a feeling about that. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. Just some of the things that we're going to cover. The Bucs also exercised a fifth-year option on Jameis Winston. Why? That's another question. Why are they not talking extension? Why are they not giving the new contract? There's a reason why. They don't trust him. We'll be talking about that up on Sunday as well. So that also having been said, you say whatever you want. Foles wants to start. Well, guess what, Nick? It ain't going to happen in Philadelphia. You're not starting, period. So what are you going to do about it? Carson Wentz will be back. Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback. What's your attitude going to be? Now he's a backup heading into next season. You know, say whatever you want, okay? You know, there's going to be a lot of things going on, and he's trade bait right now. He won't be an Eagle. That's in mind. Hey. Long time Steelers linebacker James Harrison announced that his retirement, and he is done. 39 years old now. He's done that before. He's done it before. What are you going to do? Big stuff. Question. We'll talk about New England on Sunday. It's going to be a good show. We'll continue because there are going to be more stories coming out right now. So I'm back up on what I'm talking about. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he says, trust the process. That's not good for you, Aaron, because the process is that you're injury prone now. You may be great, but are they going to throw that much money out? I'm going to tell you what I would say. Simple. I'm not spending the money on you, Aaron. I don't know. Should you get the money? Probably. Do I want to spend the money on it? Probably. Is it worth it for the Green Bay Packers? Probably. But in the long run, what does that do to your franchise? It's going to be a big question. We'll be talking about that up on Sunday, 12 noon Central Standard Time. Let's do it on Sunday. Is that being said, on Sunday, 12 to 3, we'll cover that all. Plus, never mind what's going to be exploding here in the next few days until we get to that Sunday. Will there be more news about it? Will there be more things that are going on that will be reported regarding the Patriots? We'll talk about that as well. And what is your opinion on the Green Bay Packers? Let me know. Get up on my Facebook, Sonny Clark. I'm the bald one. Check it out. Send me a message. Let me know. Thanks to our guest caller that came in. Didn't catch his name because he didn't say it. But that's okay. And, of course, join me in Cuervo on Sunday morning. I'm Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. I'm out of here, everybody. See you Sunday noon. Have a good day. Bye-bye.